FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is April 28th, 2017. Hard to believe that the first quarter, the first 4 months of the year are behind us almost. And hey, it's a momentous day today. Andy Hoffman is with us, and Miles Franklin is now accepting Bitcoin in payment or for payment of bullion. Andy, good morning.
Good morning to you. Yes, it's actually momentous on many days. Again, you know, this weekend is going to be the 6-year anniversary of the Sunday night paper silver massacre. As we hit May 2017, it's going to be my 10-year anniversary of living in Colorado and my 15-year anniversary of getting into the precious metal sector. And this week is my 5.5-year anniversary at Miles Franklin, which is important because right now gold is, fighting to retake its 5.5-year downtrend line that the cartel orchestrated starting in 2011. And it's already retaken its 200-week moving average despite all of the attacks on it since. And eventually it's going to take the 5.5-year downtrend line too, which is going to create a tremendous amount of technical demand aside from the fundamental demand out there.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's a lot of anniversaries coming up here. In me, it's going to be a month since it will be 6 years since I started doing this exclusively. I can't even believe it, how fast 6 years goes by. And yeah, there's a lot of interesting little things going on here. Besides the main stories, which the main stories kind of remain the same.
Well, they get worse. Today I wrote another one of these Tim Beeb Alooza articles, precious metal bullish, everything else bearish. And it's just, the names of my articles this week: historic unsustainability, .com valuations and sentiment in a Great Depression era. It's almost shocking to see how financial markets have been commandeered, but not in a good way, in a way that only a handful of people have benefited. And, the very process of doing that has injured so many billions of people around the world with the low interest rates and the dislocations of Main Street markets and the oversupply. And then, of course, we have the historically overvalued bonds and stocks. And now can you imagine that real estate, the real estate prices here on average are higher than the top in 2008? With all that's going on, we print a nearly zero GDP, and we have this exploding debt and delinquencies, and the retail Armageddon, and commercial real estate prices are 25% above the 2008 peak, considering all that's going on. That's how much all of the money printing has so badly dislocated and damaged the world, and to the point where, as I've said, the most overdue financial crisis in history has to inevitably hit. And then you look at all the catalysts out there. I mean, we don't even need to talk about whether Marine Le Pen will overcome the propaganda like Trump and the Brexit did. But, we kept the government shutdown, the debt ceiling. Are we going to go to war with North Korea this week? Or remember, we need to take Assad out. We're going to go to war with them, too. And Trump's tax plan is failing. And his second Obamacare plan has already failed. I mean, And of course, the economic data couldn't be worse. And you go, how could they possibly manage? How could it possibly go on much longer? And we haven't even talked about precious metal prices, which, in my view, are probably the most undervalued they've been on a, inflation adjusted basis relative to supply and demand fundamentals than they've ever been in history. And you look at like Barrick Gold's earnings report the other day, just validating what I said all along. We're in a free fall of production for years to come. And demand has never been higher on a global basis.
Yeah, well, we've been going over these themes for quite a while. There's nothing that really changes here, except, like you said, that it gets worse.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of that's the ugliness of a Ponzi scheme. And people just don't understand when I use the word Ponzi scheme. Some people like to use that. They either don't understand what it means or they just use it for the hyperbole. What fiat currency is a Ponzi scheme. It's something that's the only way to maintain it is to keep growing it. And once you stop, once the Fed stops, putting its foot on the gas pedal, Everything falls apart. And again, first of all, if anyone says, well, they're raising rates now, well, rates are still sitting near, 5,000 year lows, and they barely raise rates. And at the same time, global central banking QE, the overt portion right now, is the highest it's ever been. I mean, the ECB and Bank of Japan alone are monetizing $200 billion a month between them right now. And both came out this week and said there's going to be no change in that policy anytime soon. And then, of course, there's all the covert stuff going on, like what the president's working group on capital markets is doing, et cetera. So the fact is, the pedal to the metal hasn't been changed at all. Now you have a president that's begging for a weak dollar and a low interest rate policy because we need it, because we have record debt and we have record spending, not to mention these crazy fiscal spending plans he has. The estimates are that if they ever got done, which they won't, they would add $3 trillion, $5 trillion, $7 trillion to the debt. Because again, this fallacy about lowering taxes is good. Yeah, I mean, to an extent, it's good. But when you're a nation that's completely bankrupt and has all this debt and deficits, it's catastrophic in the near term. And so, it's almost hard to, I have to juggle from place to place because I am so 100% confident in the unsustainability of even the greatest financial engineering and market manipulation of all time, which is why sitting holding my physical gold and silver, which are, production is declining and we're down near the cost of production. I feel like the downside is essentially nothing, no matter how hard they try. And eventually, the game is going to end for the powers that be because it's an unsustainable Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, well, Ponzi scheme it is. And like Bernie Madoff, he's only the latest example. Ponzi schemes were going on before there was a Ponzi, and they will continue long after he is forgotten. And you just have to look and see all these numbers, the power of big numbers, that it gets more unsustainable by the day. Like you said, the debt increasing geometrically, the output of nations either is decreasing or at best static. And perhaps the quantity theory of money isn't always most accurate because things don't happen according to a timetable, if you will. But eventually, currencies, every single one known to man, has failed. And I'm talking about paper currencies, of course. And eventually, yes, this scheme is going to fail as well.
All those quantity theories of money and the fractional banking and all that stuff. That stuff works in an environment where, it doesn't work 100%, but generally speaking, it works in an environment where you have not too much debt. But once you pass the point of no return where the debt becomes unpayable, and that's the whole point with like Trump's tax cuts, it doesn't matter what you do at this point. Nothing can save the system. The system is going to default no matter what you try. I mean, this is just like, you're in the emergency room doing those shock things to try to wake you up. It doesn't work. And so the more that you try, the worse that you're going to make things. And, that's what politicians do. They try and they fail, and they always make things worse because the only alternative is to do the right thing, and the right thing ends the game immediately. So, again, you see what's going on around the world. It's not getting any better. Look at today's GDP number. Again, anytime we talk about these numbers, they're all overstated anyway. I mean, the Fed itself was saying it should be zero, and then they report 0.7. But it's still the worst number in 3 years. And it's coming off what, like last quarter was like the second worst number in 3 years. And all the data is telling us, the delinquencies are, did you see yesterday? I couldn't believe this article got no press. And this is a tribute to rigged markets. You saw this Canadian lender Home Capital Group. What happened to them, right?
I've been a little bit out of the loop because I've been traveling. Okay. So tell me.
Okay. Home Capital Group is the Countrywide Credit of Canada, okay? Or what was the name of the one in Britain, England, way back when? It wasn't IndyMac. No, the one in Britain years back.
I can't remember. Okay. Yeah.
But there was one in England that went first and then eventually Countrywide Credit in WAMU here. This company, Home Capital Group in Toronto, is the Countrywide Credit of Canada, and they basically collapsed. The stock yesterday or 2 days ago went from, I think, 18 to 6, and it's down from its high of like 50-something 2 years ago because they needed emergency liquidity because of all the bad loans. They're an underwriter, all the bad debt, all that. I'm not even sure exactly the details. And they were bailed out, if you could believe this. The government of Canada, the government of Toronto actually bailed it out with pension money. They took the the Ontario Healthcare Pension Workers Fund and gave them money, just gave it to these guys. It's not going to save them. It's just going to save it off. But the point is, you know, the biggest bubbles in the world are crashing, and Canadian real estate is a pretty big one. Right in front of our eyes crashing, no one cares. I mean, it's certainly going to care for people trying to get a mortgage, for people who are trying to pay mortgage, and the impact. I mean, this was on the same day that Toronto or Ontario instituted a 15% tax on foreign buying, just like the British Columbia did a few months ago because of all the money laundering going in these real estate properties. You're going to see flat out crashes in real estate markets. And we're talking about the biggest real estate lenders are crashing, are going bankrupt. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. I mean, we just saw the Case-Shiller numbers here, as I said, exceeding the 2008 peak. I mean, but what are we kidding? The only reason that can happen is pure money printing, leverage, manipulation. That's unsustainable. And, you know, when you, again, when you're looking and seeing these things right in front of your face crashing, how could you not take action? I mean, do you really believe, as I said, dot-com valuations in a Great Depression era are going to last? Of course not. This is I now more than ever believe that this is actually a bubble that will have to burst, that they won't be able to support it by money printing. And how how everyone must take some kind of measures to protect themselves. Because it can happen any day, and there's so many catalysts, so many. I mean, God, Trump met, I saw this, you saw this, that he briefed the Senate 2 days ago, but not just him. The Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of the National Intelligence, they're all meeting with the Senate, telling them how we need to bomb North Korea now. And I mean, something is going to happen that they're not going to be able to paper over, and it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. One thing about real estate, the latest real estate report said that sales would have been even better, except that there is a supply shortage. Now, if you look into the numbers, what I see here in Florida, it's almost a panic starting again of, oh my God, real estate's the best investment. It's going up and up, and I'm just going to miss out if I don't get into it now. That's the mindset beginning again.
Miami, like condo market was collapsing.
The condo market, because it's overbuilt, which always happens in Miami. We're talking the actual resales of homes in Florida. Right. There is an acute shortage of product, as they say in the real estate business. Acute. The Miami market definitely overheated. To be expected, because you know they just keep building and building; they don't stop.
And again, these kind of things make little sense, because right now we're talking about the lowest home ownership rate in I think it's 20 years. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have the highest rents ever, so I guess that would prompt some people to buy. But we also have the lowest savings, the lowest real income, the lowest labor participation rate, and of course the lowest home ownership rate. So. Who's buying? I mean, the venture capitalists that bought up everything years ago have been exiting. So yes, in Florida, here in Colorado, people are moving here because they're desirable places, but they're not moving everywhere.
No, but what I see here is that the leverage again has gotten out of control. Heard of an instance, and I don't think this is unusual by any stretch. A guy bought a $600,000 house and he put down 5%. That's $30,000. So people are levering up again. That's all. It's just a case of over leveraging.
Well, look, I mean, the one thing that makes sense on that is, you know, we've talked about how the 1% has not participated in this PPT orchestrated rally for that decade, because one, they lost their shirt in 2000, and then anyone who was still around lost their shirt in 2008. But what I did see the other day, and that was part of what I was writing about this week, is, you know, Schwab noted that all of a sudden the amount of brokerage accounts opening is like the fastest since the peak in 2000, mm-hmm. Which is exactly, by the way, what happened about 3 or 4 years ago in China, just before the Shanghai exchange collapsed, you know, monstrous opening of accounts. Yeah, I guess the exuberance created by this dot-com like bubble. And there's no question about it. This isn't just a dot-com like bubble. This is a dot-com like bubble, as I said, in a Great Depression era. It's 100% due to government manipulation. It's not public participation until now. They're buying, mm-hmm. You need a Schwab account. And then the beauty of it is, it's like, the crazy thing is, it's a lot of this was predicated on this Trumpflation. And again, the whole point was, until he got in, the hours he got in, everyone said it would be bad. Then all of a sudden they changed it to, no, he's good. Yeah. And he's going to do all these things. And yet all the things that he wanted to do have not happened. And yet still, public participation, hey, stocks are going up, we got to own them. I mean, we are really setting up for something ugly here.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable, and nobody wants to see it because it's just easier. One thing I've learned in life here, in my short time on this planet, is there are very few people, Andy, who see a problem and march off and confront it and solve it. The vast majority of humanity sees a problem or sees an inkling of a problem and buries their collective heads in the sand and hope that it fixes itself or someone else will fix it for you. That's what happens here.
I guess, but when you talk about people plowing into real estate, it's one thing to plow into stocks, but at least you're like, well, I can sell it on it. I mean, real estate couldn't be more liquid. Mm-hmm. And we just came through the worst real estate collapse ever. And now the fundamentals are no better. I mean, God, we didn't even talk about the demographics that are going to be damaging real estate in this country and most of the Western world for coming years. But I mean, if people are simply piggybacking on, the public is now piggybacking on to the easy money, even though I wasn't really aware that they were able to get access to that money. Yes, I know Fannie Mae just created this crazy mortgage application where you don't have to say your student loans or credit card debt.
Yeah, but, great.
There's a lot of dislocations between what we're talking about here and what should be happening. So obviously something is going to have to give.
Yeah, something has got to give. And the question is, what is going to give? And what's going to give first, right? I mean, that's really it. What will give first?
Yeah, and it will be something. And I just don't know what at this point. But, when you're talking about such unbelievable, unsustainable trends in financial markets relative to, I mean, again, you know, we're talking about a free fall in precious metal production on a worldwide basis. Free fall. We know the inventories are down to nothing. There's tightness in the wholesale markets. Even, you look at the COMEX numbers, there's almost nothing there. Gold in most, I'm just using gold. Gold in most currencies is at or near an all-time high. So we know the demand is there. The Chinese imports are off the chart. I mean, so again, you talk about an unsustainable situation. In 2008, the cartel pushed things too much and we had a massive shortage.
Oh, yeah.
And so, at some point that's going to happen. We've had shortages in silver and 2011, 13, and 15 too, and look at all that's going on now. So we're 2017. We're due, and probably never more due, because never has the supply demand been this tenuous, and never have the catalyst been this broad.
Oh yeah. This is a unique time in history. It's all happening now, and you need to be prepared. So in preparation, go over to Andy's site, milesfranklin.com, sign up for his daily missive and his frequent audio blogs. Come over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com, sign up for our newsletter. Hey, any questions or comments for Andy or myself, email us at kl@kerrylutz, kl@kerrylutz.com. And the Twitter feed's @KerryLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Andy, we will resume the discourse a week from today at the same time.
Looking forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.